Thank you, my friends. I'd also like to thank our sister Janice for her choice of songs. I know that that she goes to the Lord and seeks what songs that she should have you sing. And the second song, "Draw Thou My Soul, O Christ, Closer to Thine," was divinely inspired, I'm sure, and her choice was divinely inspired. Because that's our task. That's our task, is to grow closer to Christ. This morning in Sunday school, we were discussing the account of Philip and the eunuch in Acts. And as the account begins, it begins with the angel of the Lord through the Lord's Spirit directing Philip to go and speak to this man. And when he spoke to him, he didn't speak to him in his own wisdom and his own knowledge and the desires of his own heart, but rather he spoke to that man through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit rested upon that man and gave him the understanding of the words that he was reading and the words that he was hearing. And it was the Holy Spirit that convicted that man to dedicate his life to Jesus Christ. And that's our task. And that's why we offer prayers prior to our preaching, that your ears and my thoughts might and my words might be guided by that Holy Spirit, and that I wouldn't say things that are my own personal ideas, because they're of no value, but rather the ideas conveyed in God's holy word are of great value and of ultimate value to the salvation of our souls. I'd like to read extensively today from the 37th Psalm, Psalms 37. And I'll refer to a variety of other scriptures during the sermon, but we'll keep coming back to 37 here. From the beginning, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And that is probably the theme of my talk today, is that there are evildoers in this world. There are people who order their lives contrary to the will of God. But we are given guidance and direction in how we should deal with that in our lives. And it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We need to guard our reaction when we are face to face with evil. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. For they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's the lesson. Need I go further? But I've got a little time left. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This is our commandment. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In 1 John chapter 3, I'd like to read just a few verses. 1 John 3, beginning at verse 18. Thinking about delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love needs to be displayed. Because if it's not, it's of no value. I could love all day long sitting on a mountaintop all by myself, contemplating whatever people who sit on mountaintops contemplate, but of what value is it? It's of no value at all because I have not shared that gift with anyone. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love has to be displayed in how we lead our lives. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. It's talking about what we feel inside. If we have that love of Christ in our hearts, then we know those things that we should do in deed and in truth. And when we don't do them, that's that little conscience thing in there that says, you're not doing what you know is right, or you're doing what you know is wrong. And here is the fallacy of, pick your favorite sin, when someone says, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. Drug addiction is a favorite for this. I may be destroying my own body, but I'm not hurting anybody else. Maybe if I'm clever enough, nobody else will even know I'm doing it. It's possible. It can be done. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We can't fool God. He knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, if we're doing what we know is right in our hearts, then we have confidence toward God. We have confidence that we can face God and not be ashamed. And that should be the desires of our heart. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We need to have that confidence before God that we're doing the right thing, even if we're surrounded by what David refers to here as evildoers. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way to the Lord. That's what we spoke about in Sunday school today when we talked about Philip and the eunuch. Was that once the eunuch had the understanding as given to him through the Holy Spirit of the plan of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, well, there's water right over there. I'm ready to commit. And he did. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. It will be obvious to everyone. It will shine as bright as the sun. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There are a lot of really, really wealthy people in this world. A lot of them are celebrities who haven't done much more to gain notoriety than be in the right place at the right time and maybe look good and maybe act in a movie or two. But Somehow these people have worked their way into the hearts of our country, and they're held up as role models. And they have a lot of money, and they've made a lot of money. There are a lot of people who have gotten very wealthy in business. Nothing wrong with that. But there are a lot of people who have gotten very wealthy in business disregarding the Word of God, disregarding the paths that we're expected to walk in. And it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to look at that person and envy his wealth. And we all do that. Let's face it. We'd all probably like to have a little extra folding money. We'd probably all like to have a whole lot more money so that we can have a whole lot more stuff and maybe not have to work quite so much. We envy those people who lounge on the beach and spend $15 for a can of pop. Don't think anything of it because they have so much money they don't know what to do with it all. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's see what the word of the Lord says about what a lot of money can do to us. And a lot of money for one person might not be the same as a lot of money for another person. That is kind of relative. It's how you deal with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. When we look at these so-called celebrities and we see the kind of lifestyle that they lead, it's the uncommon celebrity that stands out that leads a righteous life. Money has a way of doing things to people. Money has a way of convincing us that we can have everything we want and everything we need without God in our lives. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You can have someone that isn't even rich, but they have the desire to be rich. And it's that desire, it's that love for the riches that can get us into an awful lot of trouble. And it can begin fairly simply. When I first started my business, it became pretty obvious right from the beginning that you get paid two ways. People write you checks and people give you cash. There's this thing called a paper trail with checks. They can be verified, and it's pretty easy for the government to figure out just how much money you're making by seeing how much you deposit in the bank and checks. But boy, that cash is sure hard to track. So I deposit the checks and put the cash in my pocket. And come tax time, I'd go through and I'd total up how much money I put in the bank, and that was my taxable income. I saved some money on taxes doing that. That helped me get ahead. That helped me to become a more wealthy person. But as I drew closer to the Lord and allowed Him to direct my paths, He said, "You know in your heart that that's wrong, because that's contrary to the laws of our land. The laws of our land say you will report your income, however you get it. So I said, okay, Lord, I will report my income, all of it. We had struggled financially, really struggled. As anyone who's tried to start their own business knows, you don't get rich overnight. You don't even make enough to get by overnight. We struggled. But when I started running my business the way I thought the Lord wanted me to do it, started reporting this income, was honest with my customers, didn't cheat anybody. The next year, our income doubled. Now you might say, okay, Dan, Brother Dan, then you're measuring your spiritual success by how much money you took in. It's all in how you look at it. I was grateful. I was grateful to the Lord. Sure, I was pleased to be able to have the wherewithal to support my family. I was pleased to be able to have the wherewithal to support my church. But I was more pleased that the Lord gave me a testimony in my heart that I was doing the right thing. And it wasn't easy. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I had many sorrows. I have fewer sorrows now, I'm thankful to report. But thou, O man of God, that's us, thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. These should be our guidelines. Do I go out and boast that I've made a whole bunch of money? I hope not. I hope you don't take it as such. I hope you accept this story as a testimony of God's goodness to those who follow His commands. Back to the 37th Psalm, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Remember, we're talking about how we're going to deal with the evildoer in our life. And we've been given a commandment, cease from anger. Does it do any good to get angry at someone who harms you some way? If somebody, kids, if somebody comes up and hits you, some kid comes up to you and smacks you in the rib, and you get angry, what are you going to do? You're going to hit him back, aren't you? Well, what's he going to do? He's going to get angry and he's going to hit you back. Who's the loser for getting angry? You are. We're always the losers for getting angry. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Think about it. When you got angry and you hit him back, you're guilty of the same sin. How can we then go to God and say, God, that person sinned against me? You just sinned against him. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus used that line, didn't he, in the Beatitudes. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's out of the Jesus was quoting David here. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? In the abundance of peace. Maybe not an abundance of money, maybe not an abundance of stuff, maybe not an abundance of food, but an abundance of peace. And I had an abundance of peace in my heart when I chose to start doing things the way the Lord wanted me to do them. I think you sleep better. I think you sleep better when at the end of the day your conscience isn't bothering you because of the things you've done. An abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Verse 26. Matthew 16. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. How does the Lord look upon the evildoer and the profit that evildoer gets? Whatever profit it might be. Whether it's the celebrity who seeks fame and fortune at the expense of his soul, whether it's the businessman who seeks riches at the sake of maybe his employees or his fellow workers, whether it's the bully on the schoolyard who wants to be looked up to as strong and powerful and does it at the sake of the friendship and love of his schoolmates. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall the man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give? What would you be willing to accept? What would it take to buy you out? If I'm up here and I've got an unlimited supply of whatever it is you want, when do you say that's enough to turn in your soul? Where do you draw the line and say, my soul is not worth that? I'll take it. Give me the money and I'll run. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, everything, and lose his own soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. There will come a time Christ will return, and there will be a reckoning. And when you stand before him, your pockets are going to be empty. No matter what it was you were willing to take, no matter how big the treasure, no matter how big the check, no matter how big the fill in the blank for yourself, when you stand before Christ, your pockets are empty. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man not according to how many toys he's got, but according to his works. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The history of the world is replete with the armies of the wicked, the physical armies of the wicked, attempting to dominate their area, their part of the world, or the whole world as they knew it. And they usually do it on the backs of the poor. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Most people who have attempted the conquest of a country, pick your war, pick your dictator, who did they have to pick on? They picked on the poor and the needy. They picked on the religious. Because it's the man of religious virtue who would stand up and say, what you're doing is wrong. So that's got to be eliminated. Because he might tell somebody else that what's going on is wrong, and there might be a popular uprising, and I wouldn't get to overrun this country. But, verse 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. There may be conquest for a while. There may be conquest for a long while. But in the end, they fall on their own sword. Psalms 35, a few pages back. Psalms 35, beginning at verse 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt, those that would try to do me harm. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me in their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. They made a trap for me and for you. But let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. What's the old adage? Give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. Sure. It may take a while. There may be some adverse consequences. How do we deal with the evildoer? A little that a righteous man hath, this is back in Psalms 37, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And that's what we were talking about. Because in the end, we both stand before Christ with nothing. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. The wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. In the Book of Mormon, let's look in 2 Nephi, chapter 12, page verse 18. 2 Nephi 12, 18 is on page 154. The Book of Mormon here gives us some insight into how we should deal with the evildoer, for those who would do us harm. All of this, of course, is predicated on us being followers of Jesus Christ, of in some small way being worthy of His protection. 2 Nephi 12:18. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all those who preach false doctrines, and all those who commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. How often do we hear that? We either hear, well, there is no such thing as right and wrong, or that's not relevant in our day, or something that is good and just and honest and virtuous is called evil. Or something that is abominable in the sight of the Lord is called acceptable. It's called right. It's called good. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. I'm glad there's another verse here. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. As a country, we have enemies. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. Again, thinking about how we're going to deal with these enemies. 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We all have a common enemy. We have an enemy that each and every one of us, that every human being on the face of the planet, has this same enemy. We have an enemy that isn't seeking to hit us in the side, or steal our money, or steal our wife. These are all tools. These are all tools of our common enemy. But ultimately, our common enemy wants to steal our soul. Be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, here's our answer, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, that we don't fret about the evildoer. There are times when we do have to take up arms. Many times in the Book of Mormon, we read of the righteous people who had an obligation to take up arms. We read in 3 Nephi chapter 1. About this band of evildoers that were referred to as the robbers of Gadianton. And their particular form of evil doing was that rather than work for a living, they subsisted on stealing and plundering and murdering. And this is how they made their living. You might say that was their job. And it got to the point where the people of the Lord feared not for their lives, really, but they feared for the way of life that God had given them. They feared that... Well, let's read it. 3 Nephi 1:49. Therefore all the Lamanites who had become converted unto the Lord did unite with their brethren, the Nephites, and were compelled for the safety of their lives and their women and their children to take up arms against those Gadianton robbers. Yea, and also to maintain their rights and their privileges of their church and of their worship and of their freedom and their liberty. The Lord rarely advocates the use of force. And in only one case that I can think of did he advocate the use of force to actually dominate a land. And that's when the Israelites were sent in to the Promised Land and told to eradicate every man, woman, and child, and every living thing on the face of the land. But I believe the Lord does give us permission to use force against those who would, as the Book of Mormon says, to maintain their rights, their privileges of their church, and of their worship, and of their freedom, and of their liberty. Tomorrow we have a holiday that we remember those who have given their lives in that respect. Not those who have given their lives to overrun another country for gain. Not those who have acted out of hatred for an individual. But those who have acted out of a sense of responsibility to preserve the freedom and the right to worship. And this is a good cause. But ultimately, we have to remember the source of power of that evildoer. We have to remember the one that goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour not our bodies, but our souls. That common enemy that we all face. I'd like to look at Romans 12. Romans 12, beginning at verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Just as in the schoolyard when the kid smacks you in the side, you don't turn around and hit him back. Because you are returning evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I had a battle with the evil that was in my own personal life. And it required combating that evil with honesty. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This is very good advice. You can disapprove of what someone's doing, and you don't have to be their best friend, and you don't have to go along with what they're doing, and you don't have to hang out with them and go to the places that they go. But you also don't have to approach that person with hatred in your heart, because that person is a child of God, just as you are, just as I am. If we can live peaceably with the evildoer and let God do His work, then that person doesn't have cause to blame you for his final end. And maybe, just maybe, your example will help that person to turn from his evil ways. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't hit back. But rather give place unto wrath. It's not ours to do to get angry. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's the Lord's job. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer. Be not overcome of evil. Don't let evil that's around you cause you to sin, but overcome evil with good. The goodness that comes not from us as individuals, as human beings, but is the goodness that comes from God, the goodness that was exemplified by God sending His Son to die for us, to suffer for us, that we might have that true love of that Savior in our hearts. Fret not because of the evildoer, but rather overcome evil with good. God bless you each.
Thank you, Dan. And while you're reaching for your songbooks, I realize that I neglected one announcement, or notice at least. Our brother Dan Lawrence went into the hospital yesterday evening, and he was... Darren, he's okay. I'm not. Darren Crewell, I'll get it right. I'm sorry. He had a ruptured appendicitis attack, and he was back out of surgery by about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. 9:30, okay. And was talking to people, so we don't know whether he was... He might have been kind of like me, I don't know, not quite with it, but anyway. You might remember him. Yes, Mark. MCI. One out east, yeah. Our closing song is number 160.